step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
293 CF Moreno Valley.
NBC News Radio. I'm Chris Caraggio. U.S. Navy divers are helping to recover debris from the downed Chinese balloon in waters off South Carolina's coast. The balloon was shot down yesterday. Officials expect the search to be relatively easy since the wreckage came down about 6 miles off the coast in shallow water. The debris is being taken to an FBI lab in Quantico, Virginia for analysis by intelligence experts. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says lawmakers will receive a classified briefing on the Chinese balloon incident on February 15th. Governor Chris Sununu says he's definitely thinking about running for president in 2024.
At the end of the day, you can have a lot of Republicans that get in that race. They're all really good people. They're really good candidates.
Appearing on ABC's This Week, the New Hampshire Republican said there is a need for new leadership in the GOP. He also acknowledged the 2024 Republican primary field is likely to be crowded. Sununu also predicted former President Trump is unlikely to succeed in a one-to-one against Biden. He said Trump is seen as a very extreme candidate that will receive pushback from the American people. Family and friends of Tyre Nichols gathered in Sacramento on Saturday to remember his life. Nichols' mother, Rovon Wells, says the death was avoidable.
My son, I'm going to miss him so much. This never should have happened.
An indoor skate park Nichols used to skate at was turned into a celebration of life as family members flew in for the event, with photos of Nichols projected on the walls. He spent most of his life in Sacramento before moving to Memphis in 2020. Five Memphis police officers have been charged with murder in connection to Nichols' death following a traffic stop in January. Gas prices are down slightly today. AAA puts the national average at $3.47 a gallon. That's a penny lower than Saturday. Texas remains the nation's low-price leader, with drivers there paying $3.09 on average. On the flip side, prices are highest in Hawaii at $4.91 a gallon. I'm Chris Caraggio, NBC News Radio.
It's that time of year again. No, not the holidays. Medicare open enrollment. And if you have questions about Medicare, you should talk to the local experts. Paul Berich and Associates. Paul and his agents are certified with plans that are accepted by most of the medical groups in our area. Call 909-793-0385. Their services are free, and after 41 years in the business, their agents are trained to help you pick the plan that's right for you.
My name is Daniel Rudbari. I'm an attorney. I represent tenants against landlords. So if your landlord is making you live in substandard living conditions, bug infestation, cockroaches, rodents, mold, mildew, broken windows, lack of security, flooding, call me. You have rights. You can reach me at 877-384-9911. Again, I'm attorney Daniel Rudbari. And I represent tenants against landlords that refuse to make repairs and force tenants to live in substandard living conditions. So if you think you're living in a substandard living condition, call me, 877-384-9911. The call is free. It's a toll-free number, 877-384-9911, and the advice is free.
Apex Bulk Commodities would like to take this opportunity to salute all our men and women serving in our armed forces. To those who risk their lives daily to keep us free, we say thank you. This important reminder was courtesy of Apex Bulk Commodities in Adelanto, providing safe and efficient trucking and transfer services. For information on employment, call Apex Bulk Commodities at 760-242-7295 or visit them online at apexbulk.com.
What does the WeatherBug app tell you?
My commute will be a doozy today.
Pack my allergy meds.
Lightning. Pick up a pizza, not a tennis racket.
With more free map layers than any other weather app, WeatherBug tells you more of what you need to know to prepare you for the unpredictable. Discover why over 10 million users choose WeatherBug.
Maybe it's a commute to the couch day.
Download the WeatherBug app today for free.
This segment is sponsored by PressPrint, Southern California's best full-service union printer and mailhouse. They offer the lowest prices around with unmatched service and reliability and free delivery throughout SoCal. PressPrint can print anything from letterhead, business cards, and campaign literature to mailers of any size, lawn signs, banners, door hangers, or just about anything you might want. PressPrint promises to save money for you, your business, or your campaign. If you'd like to learn more, contact Mike Kroombrin at PressPrint 714-399-8700. Get the union bug.
Open for takeout and delivery, El Tapioc Mexican Food Restaurant in the Tri-City Center of Redlands is back. Their entire family is on hand to serve up their delicious burritos, machaca, chorizo, huevos rancheros, steak and eggs, just part of their mouth-watering great food. Since 1531, people have marveled at the miracle of El Tapioc, and now you can marvel at the great food the Lugo family has been serving up for over two decades, nestled quietly in the corner of the Tri-City Center Shopping Mall next to Burlington Coat Factory. Support them. They can't wait to serve you some of their delectable, authentic, south-of-the-border Mexican fare at great prices, served up with love. Support the area's best-loved Mexican food restaurant in these tough times. Order up a tasty meal on the phone for delivery or takeout for breakfast, lunch, or dinner from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Call 909-307-0017. That's 909-307-0017. Or Google El Tapioc Redlands and treat yourself.
The following program on KCAA is pre-recorded.
Thank you for tuning in for this special Black History Month edition of Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali. I am Attorney Zulu Ali with the Justice Watch crew, Rosa Nunez, Michael Bilal Clark, and Dr. Akil Bashir. Today we'll be discussing the legacy of the Big Six civil rights leaders and the new Jim Crow. Specifically, we'll be talking about selective prosecution of brown and black people. This month, of course, I think we kicked it off last week, was our first broadcast with regards to what we call our Black History Month special broadcast. Of course, as we said before, here at Justice Watch, every week and every day is Black History Month. However, we are going to utilize the time that they set aside in this very short month in order for us to discuss Black History Month topics. Last week, we spoke about Justice Thurgood Marshall and his legacy, as well as what we call the new Jim Crow number one, which we talked about mass incarceration. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll actually be talking about the legacy of black women in American history. We'll also, I think our last broadcast will be about Malcolm X or El Haj Malik Shabazz. Mm-hmm. We'll also talk a little bit about the Black Panther Party, as well as talking a little bit about the newer issue about the Black Lives Matter movement, yes, as well, and some of the other newer movements. And so, you know, just to kind of talk a little bit about what we spoke about last month and the significance of the Black History Month, one of the things that actually that reminded me, you guys, about this is a statement that I heard where it says you can take advantage of people who do not know what they are worth, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, I mean, that kind of like symbolizes the lack of education that we receive in our school system with regards to black history. Mm-hmm. and the fact that other than just the obvious, they really don't present us with anything about the history of African Americans, right, and the significance of what we contributed to this country, which is, you know, kind of par for the course, you know. And I think that oftentimes what they've done is try to do two things. Number one is desensitize people to the significance of who we are and what we've contributed and how important we are to this country.
Yeah.
And we always talk about, you know, or they always talk about the fabric of our society and the values of the American system, specifically as it relate to justice and social justice and criminal justice. However, they tend to forget to mention the significance of how we actually came to this country from the very beginning and how we actually contributed, and much of which was to our misery in order for this country to thrive, in order to be one of the most powerful countries in the nation. Without African Americans, that would have never happened, you know. And oftentimes that's something that, you know, often goes, you know, unrecognized. But I guess we'll start out, and last week is you know, it kind of the primer to this week, where we talked about Justice Thurgood Marshall and basically his significant contributions to the legal system, specifically Brown v. Board of Education. We talked about that last week. And now we're going back to talk about what is called the Big Six. Now, the Big Six refers to the chairman, presidents, and leaders of six prominent civil rights organizations active during the height of the civil rights movement, who were instrumental in the organization of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom in 1963. And we know that which we always remember the famous King speech, Dr. King speech in 1963 on Washington. And those six leaders were Dr. King himself, James Farmer, John Lewis, A. Philip Randolph, Roy Wilkins, and Whitney Young. And the prospective organizations, of course, with Dr. King was a Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which he was the leader of that organization. You had James Farmer, who was basically the founder of the Congress of Racial Equality, or what is better known as CORE. And basically CORE, and we'll get more into the details of those organizations. Then we had the SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which was John Lewis's organization. Then we have A. Philip Randolph, who was actually organized the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, which was a labor union for the employees of the Pullman Company, which was a major employer of African Americans at that time, for Pullman porters. We have Roy Wilkins, obviously, which he was a prominent civil rights leader, and he was the executive director of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And then, of course, we have Whitney Young, who was actually organized the National Urban League during that period. And, you know, what's interesting about the civil rights movement and the civil rights organization is that we oftentimes spend a lot of time talking about the prospective organizations and how significant they were and their contributions, obviously, to civil rights. But also what we don't talk about is actually, you know, and we'll get into a little bit about those organizations and what they were pretty much all about. Now, you know what, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. SCLC, which is the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and it was basically associated, you know, obviously with its first president, which was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And basically what it they all pretty much were related to the same issues. Obviously it was religious based, but the movement and the organization were primarily based on creating, you know, civil rights and civil liberties for everyone, kind of with an undercurrent of religion, specifically Christianity, as part of its doctrine. Right. And they wanted to actually, obviously many of your churches probably did not understand or did not necessarily support it, but ultimately that was really the purpose of that organization. Then you had James Farmer and the CORE. And let's just be frank. I'm going to get right to it because I'm kind of getting bored talking about the details of it. But I am going to get core. I want to get to the juicy stuff, man. Now, with the civil rights organizations, and kudos to those organizers, the ones that I just mentioned, I have nothing but respect for each of them and their respective organizations and what they contributed to. But the one thing that I want to talk about is they were very much, it's kind of interesting because many of those organizations although the majority of African Americans were not necessarily directly involved, or a significant number of African Americans were not involved in those organizations because they were considered to be kind of radical organizations. Mm-hmm. The irony is that many people thought they were pacifists. Mm-hmm. In fact, Malcolm X statement was, he says, the Negro civil rights leaders have now been permanently named the Big Six because of their participation in the Big Fix, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, I mean, there's a criticism about the significance of the civil rights movement, specifically as it relates to those individual organizations, those individual leaders and their protege, I guess you could say, and the fact that they basically were pacifists, and much more could have been accomplished had they had taken more of a so-called hardcore stance. That's kind of the position that people have. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to actually want us to get into a discussion, and I want the discussion to be more or less of more of what I would see, what I would like to see.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As Rosa, I want you to tell me, from your perspective, how you feel that these organizations were much more beneficial, and how without those organizations that it was necessary for them not necessarily to take a more radical role, from your perspective, if you understand where I'm going with that question.
So from my you're asking why it was necessary for them to take more of a radical role.
Because, I mean, in other words, there are those who believe that they were not been, in other words, they were detrimental, although there were strives, but they were compromises.
Yeah.
And in many ways, unnecessary compromises.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, and I'm asking you to give me a perspective to put them in the best light. I mean, what do you feel that they contributed to? And do you believe that the more, radical, I want you to hit on it before we go to the break, and then you can come back and kind of give me a little bit more of what you, what your feelings are on that.
I think I definitely agree with the fact that them being more radical would have definitely benefited us a lot. But I mean, they did a lot. Hmm. You know, I think that Dr. King, at the end of his years, you know, he kind of advocated for a more human rights agenda, where he was like, you know, we ought to care about the Vietnam, the individual that's, you know, fighting the Vietnam War, also as much as we care about those who are fighting for civil rights and African Americans, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And I think that his particular use of wording and the way he expressed himself was radical in itself, because he really kind of challenged the system, and he wasn't kind of trying to have people go by the system, not necessarily because they were having peaceful protests meant that they were going to use the system. So I think that at the end of the day, using this radical and more socialist view in a way definitely helped the civil rights movement. And we see leaders today using that socialist agenda but being highly criticized, and we see it with the new, we were talking about the Green New Deal, Alejandro Ocasio-Cortez, you know, and throughout history, you see that these leaders who kind of used a more radical agenda have been criticized. So I think that for me, I think it's definitely useful, and it was useful, and they did leave an imprint.
Okay. All right. We'll come back and continue talking about it on the other side of the break.
Get back. Payback. Payback.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Nubian Pictures presents a CCM Films production documentary entitled Purpose and Freedom, Keep Your Hand on the Plow. This emotional and strong documentary tells the story of African-American lawyer Zulu Ali seeking justice and his purpose as a lawyer while crossing paths with Araceli, an undocumented immigrant from Mexico who is seeking her freedom. Together, they help discover their purpose and freedom in each other. Watch this incredible film today from iTunes Movies, YouTube Movies, Amazon Prime, and Google Play Movies. Learn about the cast and crew, links to purchase, and more at purposeandfreedommovie.com. Purpose and Freedom. Keep your hand on the plow. Available now. Rated G.
I did not feel safe. That's why I decided to come to California, because I didn't feel safe in Mexico.
It's kind of like the system, and if you go outside the system, then it becomes a struggle.
Are you an immigrant seeking defense representation and are looking to protect your rights? Or maybe someone who is experiencing an injustice or discrimination and need a lawyer you can trust? Well, that's exactly why you need the help of award-winning trial lawyer Zulu Ali. The law offices of Zulu Ali provides immigration defense representation for those seeking justice and looking to protect their rights. If you or a loved one needs professional legal advice and representation, then contact Zulu Ali. Zulu Ali's firm focuses on criminal law, family law, civil and personal injury, and international law. Zulu Ali is a former police officer and U.S. Marine, so you know you're in good hands. Serving all of California and immigration cases nationwide, representing victims and suspects at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Call Zulu Ali today at 888-682-3049 or visit ZuluAliLaw.com.
Welcome back to Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali and the Justice Watch crew. We're continuing with our discussion on the Big Six Civil Rights Leaders and the new Jim Crow 2, which regarding the issue of selective prosecution of brown and black people. So I think, Rosa, you left off by telling us, at least from your perspective, as we're talking about the Big Six. For those of you who are just joining us, the Big Six refers to the chairman, presidents, and leaders. There's six prominent civil rights organizations at the height of the civil rights movement who were actually instrumental in organizing the March on Washington in 1963. And again, those leaders were Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., James Farmer, A. Philip Randolph, Roy Wilkins, Whitney Young, and I missed somebody, didn't I?
Roy Wilkins?
Did I say John Lewis?
John Lewis.
And Roy Wilkins, yeah. So I think I might have missed him. But at any rate, those were six of the leaders of some of the most prominent civil rights organizations during that time, and actually were very instrumental in the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom in 1963. And we were talking about, you know, how beneficial they were, and really, you know, during the course of history in the 1960s, when you're talking about the civil rights movement, you know, there's clearly different paradigms within the African American community. Oftentimes, one is kind of dismissed. And not, you know, we don't talk about necessarily, well, there was this whole idea that these individuals were, you know, basically accommodationalist. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, they basically took a position that was pretty much, you know, they made gains, but this was a gains that was based upon a compromise. Mm-hmm. of allowing those individuals to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Where had you had other individuals that had a more nationalistic or more aggressive agenda, specifically being the Black Panther Party, or whether you're talking about the Nation of Islam, or whether you're talking about these other organizations at the time that would have been considered more aggressive or nationalistic, that had we had taken a more aggressive approach, that maybe we would have made a more aggressive, maybe we would have fared better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the whole idea was integrating into society. And mm-hmm. and some may ask that question because, Bilal, we do know that Dr. King says that I feel that I may have integrated my people into a burning house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So based upon that type of rhetoric that we got from Dr. King later in his lifetime, you know, as we move towards 67 and 68 and we're seeing a more progressive Dr. King, was it really as beneficial? Clearly it was beneficial, but the question is, should we have stayed on a more on a path that was more focused on a less accommodationalist agenda?
I think that, you know, when you look at the Big Six, you know, on the flip side of the Big Six, you had people like Stokely Carmichael, H.R.A.P. Brown, Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, Huey, Elgin Cleaver, all of them. Malcolm X. Malcolm once said that if you give us human rights, then it makes our civil rights automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm respected as a human being, then my civil rights is automatically in play. I don't need civil rights if I got human rights because you respecting me as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the approach that Dr. Martin Luther King and the other five took was they compromised a lot. You saw them with presidents from time to time. And I think that it did advance us in, you know, particular areas. But as you see further on in future, you see that those rights in which that were gained, they're actually more beneficial to other individuals outside of African Americans. They're more beneficial to people who come from other country, whether it be loans, whether it be, you know, housing, whether it be incarceration, so forth and so on. It caters more to them than it actually caters to those individuals who actually fought for it. However, I think that in later years with Dr. Martin Luther King, he began to see, you know, that he did place us in a position that had he went along with Malcolm and fought for the human rights and being more radical, we wouldn't see a lot of the stuff that we see right now. So he foresaw. I believe that he foresaw this. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So now when you see all the police shootings now and you see all of the discrimination, you see these types of presidents taking office, I think that if he took a more radical approach, you wouldn't see a lot of the stuff that we see nowadays.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of funny when we use the word radical. I feel kind of uncomfortable using the word.
Yeah.
And you know, but he kind of like basically it's kind of a word. It's more metaphorically.
Because it's
against it. Basically, what they want us to accept.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because the truth is never radical.
Yeah.
Right. The truth, a lie is radical.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so basically what was happening is that basically we, you know, all, when it comes to our history and when it comes to our communities, when you let someone else tell our history, all you get is lies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what is radical. And oftentimes what they don't want you to hear is they don't want you to hear individuals like you mentioned, like whether you're talking about Fred Hampton, whether you're talking about Stokely Carmichael. You know, it's no accident that most of those individuals ended up basically leaving the country or in prison or dead because they wanted to shut them down. And the reason why they wanted to shut them down was because they were telling the truth.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that's what the issue is. It doesn't, you know, we have to truly understand it. You know, we have to be honest about, and I cannot lie to my viewers.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And I can't lie to my viewers and make them believe that basically, you know, these things, these individuals who were targeted for reasons that were less than genuine. And there was an agenda that really derived people of color of their civil, of their human rights.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Doc, I want to go to you next because I know that basically, you know, you actually had bit were involved specifically in the Black Panther movement and to some degree the Civil Rights movement, if you really want to call that. I guess I want to use the Human Rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I want to kind of get your take with regards to the impact of the Big Six. And was the impact, although I'm not going to sit up here and destroy those men's legacy.
Right. No, mm-hmm. right.
Because
no.
those men, you know, many of who gave their lives for this, mm-hmm. I'm not exactly. going to do that. I think that what those men did, they did. It's easy for me to sit here and for all of us to sit here and question what someone has
right.
had done.
Yeah.
So it's not to attack them personally,
yeah.
but it's just like in general the movement itself and what we got out of it, they took the best course that they could.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
My question would be, do you feel that if they would have taken a course that would have been more radical? Because let's just be honest, there were two different paradigms or at least three different paradigms of what course to take.
Yeah.
Do you think that another paradigm would have been more beneficial?
No, what I think is a combinations of paradigms would have been more official. Mm-hmm. See, the Big Six, one of the issues was they closed themselves off to any type of other methodology. They said nonviolence was the only way we were going to move the process forward. In my generation, which I came out of the 50s, I followed their generation. We weren't accepting that. We weren't accepting the fact that the policies that they were trying to enforce kept us in a subservient position, kept us with no respect, kept us basically in the same type of dynamic we were before. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to say, the Big Six were groundbreakers. Let's don't get that mixed. Mm-hmm. They opened a door for a lot of other concepts, ideologies to come into play, but the problem with the Big Six was they didn't draft the structure in which they were operating from. The societal structure is what gave the acceptance as to what they did. Most people don't even realize Martin Luther King was not part of the March on Washington initially. If we go into the history, he was brought in later, and certain things transpired because of that. That's another show for another day. But more importantly, Ali, Brother Ali, we have got to understand it should have been a broader, inclusive process.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Ch-ch-chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Should have had a collaboration of thought process and strategies that were put on board, not just one over the other. And I think mm-hmm. that's where we went awry with that integrationist mentality.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that when you talk, we'll talk a little bit more about the integrationalist mentality, but and as well, we're going to get right into the selective prosecution issue when we come back on the other side of the break.
Got to pay back. Revenge. A man. Got to get back. Need some get back.
There's a new nationally syndicated radio program that's sweeping the nation, and you don't want to miss it. Justice Watch with attorney Zulu Ali, the voice of justice for the people. The focus of Justice Watch is to provide an honest analysis and viable solutions to the criminal and social justice crisis in America and the world from a Black, brown, working class, and socially disadvantaged perspective, and to motivate listeners to be informed and part of the solution. Zulu Ali is joined by the Justice Crew, consisting of Rosa Nunez, Michael Clark, Dr. Akil Bashir, and Charito Ali, to tackle the most pressing issues. Host attorney Zulu Ali is a former police officer, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, and an award-winning trial lawyer who focuses on representing persons accused of crimes, immigrants, victims of discrimination, and persons seeking civil justice. Find out how to listen to Justice Watch with attorney Zulu Ali at justicewatchradio.com. Nubian Pictures presents a CCM Films production documentary entitled Purpose and Freedom. Keep your hand on the plow. This emotional and strong documentary tells the story of African-American lawyer Zulu Ali seeking justice and his purpose as a lawyer while crossing paths with Araceli, an undocumented immigrant from Mexico who is seeking her freedom. Together, they help discover their purpose and freedom in each other. Watch this incredible film today from iTunes Movies, YouTube Movies, Amazon Prime, and Google Play Movies. Learn about the cast and crew, links to purchase, and more at purposeandfreedommovie.com. Purpose and freedom. Keep your hand on the plow. Available now. Rated G.
I did not feel safe. That's why I decided to come to California, because I didn't feel safe in Mexico.
It's kind of like the system, and if you go outside the system, then it becomes a struggle.
Are you an immigrant seeking defense representation and are looking to protect your rights? Or maybe someone who is experiencing an injustice or discrimination and need a lawyer you can trust? Well, that's exactly why you need the help of award-winning trial lawyer Zulu Ali. The law offices of Zulu Ali provides immigration defense representation for those seeking justice and looking to protect their rights. If you or a loved one needs professional legal advice and representation, then contact Zulu Ali. Zulu Ali's firm focuses on criminal law, family law, civil and personal injury, and international law. Zulu Ali is a former police officer and U.S. Marine, so you know you're in good hands. Serving all of California and immigration cases nationwide, representing victims and suspects at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Call Zulu Ali today at 888-682-3049 or visit ZuluAliLaw.com.
Welcome to back with Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali and the Justice Watch crew. We're continuing with our discussion on the Big Six civil rights leaders and the new Jim Crow, too. So, which is the selective prosecution of brown and black people. We're going to talk a little bit about the issue of selective prosecution. I was reading a piece that was written by Angela J. Davis regarding the issue, the power and discretion of the American prosecutor. And you know, prosecutors are the most powerful officials in the American justice systems, and decisions they make, specifically when it comes to charging people and controlling the operations of the justice system, is unbelievable. It's extremely vast and unrestrained when it comes to prosecutors. And for those people who do not know who prosecutors, what prosecutors are. Prosecutors are basically district attorneys, is what they typically are referred to, depending on what jurisdiction you're in. And usually there are individuals who are either appointed to represent the people, so to speak, whether it's in a county, sometimes they're in wards, sometimes they're in judicial districts, but they're responsible for, you know, handling case and prosecuting people. And so basically the prosecutors are, the way they get involved in the criminal justice system is, are the justice system, regardless of whether it's at the state level, local level, or however it is, whether you're even sometimes you're talking about attorney generals. The way that they come into the, and we're talking federal prosecutors as well, is that when you're arrested, basically, that does not necessarily mean that you're actually going to have any, you're not going to be formally prosecuted. Someone, you know, the law enforcement can arrest you. They give the information to the prosecutor's office, and then a prosecutor makes the determination as to whether they're going to go forward with the case and what the charges are going to be. And basically, they're pretty much unrestrained. They're more powerful than law enforcement and more powerful than judges, because basically it doesn't even come to court unless the prosecutor gets a hold of it. And you know, sometimes one of the things that comes to my mind is something that I was told by my mother as a kid, is that basically the worst thing that you can do is to give a nobody power. And when you're talking about a nobody power, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about individuals who basically have significant shortcomings as human beings, whether it's because they have some sort of hidden inferiority complex or some other type of problem, right? And so basically what you're doing is you're taking these prosecutors who, you know, have this unrestrained discretion to make a determination as to, you know, what happens next mm-hmm. with the case.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they basically, there's no way that the prosecutor actually has any, the judicial system or the system of justice gives no discretion. There's nothing in place that prevents a prosecutor from doing whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so the issue when we talk about selective prosecution is, how are they prosecuting these cases? Who are they choosing to go after? Whenever they see someone come in, the decisions are private. These aren't public decisions that are being made. When something comes into a prosecutor's the vetting system as to who they're going after will have an impact on the paradigm of that particular individual. Mm-hmm. And once that individual decides to actually, you know, go after certain individuals, that's the reason why you see so many prosecutions of people of color, because we have an unchecked prosecutorial system when it comes mm-hmm. to determining who goes to court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can just tell you, you know, firsthand, being an attorney, that prosecutors, the way that they prosecute cases and the way they charge cases, because not only do they determine whether it's prosecution, let's just say an individual was found with some drugs and a scale.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make a determination, number one, not only they could obviously, regardless of the amount of drugs, they can charge him with possession, which typically if you charge somebody with possession of some sort of drugs, that basically would be the difference between, you know, generally it's a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
But they can also say, you know what, I'm going to charge him with sales because there was a scale,
mm-hmm.
which basically puts in significant time and, you know, could put somebody in, you know, that's prison time right
mm-hmm.
there, mm-hmm. which, you know, puts people into the whole idea of plea bargaining,
mm-hmm.
right? Because people, and then we go back to the other issue. The things that they take into consideration is the possibility of being able to prosecute an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keeping it, if you keep in mind that when we were talking about sometimes earlier about the unfairness of the jury system and the fact that you're not going to typically get a jury that's going to be that's going to look like a brown and black person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, now you have to make a decision. Am I going to put this in front of a racist jury, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not suggesting that all juries are racist, nor am I suggesting that a white person cannot, or somebody else that's not of color, cannot be fair and impartial being on a jury.
Mm-hmm.
But it does matter, because we know mm-hmm. that people see things differently,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're a prosecutor and you're making a determination as to who you're going to, what you're going to take to trial, they're going to make a determination as to, they're going to look at the color of the victim,
mm-hmm.
I mean the color of the victim, the color of the person accused.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to be in an area that is predominantly, that it's more likely than not that you're not going to get a predominantly black or a jury of color, they're willing to put it on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that has to go into, because if it goes into a defense attorney's analysis, you don't think it goes into a prosecutor analysis?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the thing that basically that kills me about our society is our inability to address the issue, the significance of color in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where if you don't, It's like in anything, it's kind of like that wound that never heals,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's there. I mean, you have to understand that is who we are as a society.
Yes.
Right? It's so much part of us. I mean, that's it's just there. So you think that you're going to blink your eyes and all of a sudden it's going to go away?
No.
It doesn't work that way,
mm-hmm.
right? And until we get to a point where we just say, you know what, it's just like being, you know, in a relationship. I had a friend of mine years ago who I knew that we had actually, you know, we went to Hodge together,
mm-hmm.
right? And something happened, you know, probably a long time ago that it bothered him that I did and I never knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Then recently, you know, we had, you know, a problem about something else that seemed insignificant, and it finally came out that he had this issue with me that happened almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
Because that's how it is. That's how relationships work. I mean, you know, I'm 52, dog, and people ask me, you know, how did me and my wife, we've been married for 33 years, and I'm not a relationship expert, but I can tell you the reason why I've been married so long is because I talk about things. People mm-hmm. say, what's your secret? It's because I talk about things, because that's mm-hmm. the reason why marriages fall apart, because mm-hmm. this one thing that you never really addressed, mm-hmm. ultimately it bursts.
It yeah. bursts.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's going to, I mean, and that's what's happening in our country. If we don't deal with that, I'm telling you, we're going to be, you know, it's because we don't want to see it. Nobody wants to think that we're going to get to a point where we're going to be out in the streets killing each other mm-hmm. over race. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, as I'm sitting right here, it might not happen in my lifetime, but if we don't get this thing in check, yeah. that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to, yep. how can so many people ignore the obvious?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the obvious thing, and it's so obvious in our justice system,
yes.
when it comes to the issue of the whole idea that you have, that they're targeting people in a way that is unfair and unjust, and a lot of it comes out of the prosecutor's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And these prosecutors, basically, many of them are racist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they make their, whether it's, you know, there's three types of racism: overt, covert, and unintentional. And they all have the same effect, right? So yeah. the reality of it is whether you're, you know, once you get into this system and you find yourself prosecuting individuals, you know, the question is, why am I being prosecuted and why is this person not being prosecuted? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that I'm doing or that we see individuals do in the black community that people aren't doing in other communities.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, all you need to do is go on a Saturday night in a college campus, mm-hmm. right? And I can assure you that on that campus that people are doing as much, if not more, than anybody else when it comes to doing this crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the question is, when I'm walking by the frat house and I'm smelling all this, you know, weed, mm-hmm. or, you know, when all these girls that get raped on campus that basically is kept inside because you have these campus police that aren't going to go after certain individuals the same way they go after other individuals, mm-hmm. then you're talking about the problem with our system is this selective prosecution, not only in yeah. regular people,
yes.
but even in our public officials.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the same yeah. thing. Yeah. Right? They figure out ways that they can go after individuals because that's the way those are the what do they call them in the slave days? The ones that kept slaves in check.
Oh, the
overseers.
Overseers.
So the law enforcement, the prosecutors, and law enforcement are now modern day overseers.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I think that, and I think that what we need to do is we need to have a serious conversation about it instead of sitting here trying to, you know, figure out some way that we can march and make these people stop doing something that they've been doing it for centuries.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There has to be some sort of change because, you know, it ain't working.
Exactly.
If you're using the same rhetoric today that you was using in the 18th century, that tells me that we're not moving forward.
Not at all.
We're running in place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And if we keep running in place, they're going to run us out of here. But at any rate, we'll continue with this discussion on the other side of the break.
There's a new nationally syndicated radio program that's sweeping the nation, and you don't want to miss it. Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali, the voice of justice for the people. The focus of Justice Watch is to provide an honest analysis and viable solutions to the criminal and social justice crisis in America and the world from a black, brown, working class, and socially disadvantaged perspective, and to motivate listeners to be informed and part of the solution. Zulu Ali is joined by the Justice Crew, consisting of Rosa Nunez, Michael Clark, Dr. Akil Bashir, and Charito Ali to tackle the most pressing issues. Host Attorney Zulu Ali is a former police officer, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, and an award-winning trial lawyer who focuses on representing persons accused of crimes, immigrants, victims of discrimination, and persons seeking civil justice. Find out how to listen to Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali at justicewatchradio.com. Nubian Pictures presents a CCM Films production documentary entitled Purpose and Freedom, Keep Your Hand on the Plow. This emotional and strong documentary tells the story of African-American lawyer Zulu Ali seeking justice and his purpose as a lawyer while crossing paths with Araceli, an undocumented immigrant from Mexico who is seeking her freedom. Together, they help discover their purpose and freedom in each other. Watch this incredible film today from iTunes Movies, YouTube Movies, Amazon Prime, and Google Play Movies. Learn about the cast and crew, links to purchase, and more at purposeandfreedommovie.com. Purpose and Freedom. Keep your hand on the plow. Available now. Rated G.
I did not feel safe. That's why I decided to come to California, because I didn't feel safe in Mexico.
It's kind of like the system, and if you go outside the system, then it becomes a struggle.
Are you an immigrant seeking defense representation and are looking to protect your rights? Or maybe someone who is experiencing an injustice or discrimination and need a lawyer you can trust? Well, that's exactly why you need the help of award-winning trial lawyer Zulu Ali. The law offices of Zulu Ali provides immigration defense representation for those seeking justice and looking to protect their rights. If you or a loved one needs professional legal advice and representation, then contact Zulu Ali. Zulu Ali's firm focuses on criminal law, family law, civil and personal injury, and international law. Zulu Ali is a former police officer and U.S. Marine, so you know you're in good hands. Serving all of California and immigration cases nationwide, representing victims and suspects at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Call Zulu Ali today at 888-682-3049 or visit ZuluAliLaw.com.
Welcome back to Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali and the Justice Watch crew, where we're discussing the Big Six civil rights leaders and the new Jim Crow 2, where we're talking about the issue of selective prosecution of brown and black people. We just kind of gave a little introduction as to what we feel is a crisis when it comes to the issue of selective prosecution, meaning that the prosecutor who has unfettered and unchecked power to actually make a determination as to who actually goes before the criminal justice system or before the judge or for whatever, whether it's the attorney general, and it's always disproportionate, and black people and brown people tend to actually be disproportionately subjected to prosecution as opposed to other individuals. I mean, what kind of statistics do we have on the difference between individuals, whether you're talking about white, black, and Latino? I mean, what are the numbers like, Rosa?
Well, among people, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, among people who received a mandatory minimum sentence in 2011, 38% were Latino and 31% were black. So you can definitely see that the evident bias prosecution against black and brown people in this country. Not only that, but according to research, there are more African-Americans on probation or parole prison than were enslaved in 1850, a decade before the Civil War. And in a 30-year period, the nation's prison population has quintupled from 1970 being 300,000 people to today over 2 million people, with blacks being the individuals that take up more part in the prison system. So you can definitely see that the values at the heart of the Jim Crow that were anti-black and that, you know, evidently exalted white supremacy are still very much alive today, and it's seen through the biased prosecution of black and brown and through the prison industrial complex system.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when it comes to the issue of not having any checks, there's no checks and balances with regards to making a determination as to what cases are actually prosecuted. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what I want to know is, I want to know what the opinion is as far as what do you feel, Bilal, would be the way to, in other words, have some sort of check and balance in place when it comes to this issue of selective prosecution?
I mean, you can go so many different ways, but I think that what we have to do is we have to formulate some type of group or committees or something that can sit in on. And we spoke about this a while back, where we have people that sit in on different cases and listen in on different cases and stuff like that. And we have to rally people around this because the more attention that we bring to it and the more we talk about it, and it goes back to what you was just saying, that we have to communicate it. We have to talk about it more. And as long as we don't talk about it and bring it to the forefront of the people, it's going to continue to be an issue. And as far as like, you know, we like I said, we talked about bringing about committees and stuff like that to kind of check it. You know, back in the days, the Panthers, you know, stood over people when they saw people being arrested, and they stood there on the scene to make sure that people's rights was being met. And I think that same process has to be done to this day, where people have to be get involved. Put it out there, put it in people's face, and let them know that this is a violation. Mm-hmm. It's silence right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what, Doc? You know what one of my favorite quotes are from one of my favorite people? Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
He said, everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, and we talk about strategy. I mean, basically, you know, we have a lot of strategy. We deal with, it's almost like we have a system for everything that we deal with. I mean, as far as like how we're going to march on this, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. And the criminal justice system is kind of like the hit getting hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is, Doc, when you're really on a roll and you're doing something good, the hit in the face is when they come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they use the system is usually the way in which they come after you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the hit in the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that they come at you, Doc. So my question is that basically, like Bilal said, I mean, you know, we all obviously need to strategize, put some things together. However, the reality of it is, are we ready to do what it takes in order to put it on the line? Because you're going to have to put it on the line to deal mm-hmm. with that kind of problems that we got when they come after us in the justice system.
Well, when you say are we ready, that's the big question, because back in the day, what constituted us, especially in the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which is what we were known by and what we were called, and the other organizations, we were willing to sacrifice everything inclusive of our life to stand up for that cause. Now, I'm not saying give our lives in this process, but we've got to seriously question, are we ready to collectively sacrifice? And if that's the case, that's going to make us mandate a cross-sectional approach to what we need to do. First and foremostly, Brother Ali, in your expertise is law. You know the educational process has to change. When we look at how the police department came into fruition, they were overseers. The police mm-hmm. department was overseers of the slaves. And so they put a suppressive system in place to control the people, hence the prison industrial complex. Guess what? That narrative hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Until we change that narrative. Look, most of the dysfunction and marginalization in these communities comes from a lack of equitable justice systems approaches. We don't have a just system in terms of correct justice. So guess what? That impedes and stifles everything else. We have no anchors. And then when you get people who systematically are marginalized because of the lack of inclusion, etc., we really have a ship that's turning on its side. So back to your question, cross-sectional approach. We have to, first of all, educate. We didn't really start getting hit hard in the Panther Party until they realized we were ready to fight back, but more importantly, until our survival programs started to take root.
Mm-hmm.
We started to have effective change in our communities. That's when they came at us with the COINTEL and everything else. So we need to go back. We need to look at some of these systems that work, and we've got to do more for self in terms of pushing our own narrative as we try to change the system. Some short-term change is immediate and necessary, and then long-term substantial change has to be put on board, and we've got to take the leadership of that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't look for nobody else to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's funny when it comes to this selective, you talked about the education system, it starts in school.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at basically the way that children are disciplined, African-American children and brown children are disciplined at a higher rate, when it comes to Child Protective Services, African-American children
yes,
are actually, you know, and even African-American
yes,
parents, the way that they treat African-American parents when it comes to issues regarding their children is often is different.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. When you give these individuals that kind of power, the entire system was set up in a way in which we begin to start
mm-hmm.
being the targets of,
mm-hmm.
And that's the power.
Mm-hmm.
The power is, mm-hmm. And again, giving those type of individuals, a nobody, a power. And basically, mm-hmm. that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's always really interesting to me as a person that deals with justice every day, the type of individuals that try to assert, you know, unfair power over other people, and the people who do it the most are the people who are nobodies.
You're right.
It's just like the president.
Right.
He's nobody.
You're right.
Right? I mean, you're looking at their background.
Well said.
And oftentimes the prosecutor and oftentimes even the judge, the guy I'm representing deserves more respect than the prosecutor and the judge. I represent people who have served their country in combat all the way back to the Korean War, Vietnam War, Afghanistan, Iraq. These guys have served their country. Basically come back into this country, and then they're standing in front of the individuals that haven't done anything except go to college, go to law school, pass the bar examination, and that's it. They've never done anything else mm-hmm. or contributed anything else to life. They're nobody. Mm-hmm. So now you give somebody like that some sort of power over someone else who have actually gave their life for this country, mm-hmm. and now you're going to tell me that this individual deserves less respect than you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Look at most of these prosecutors.
Yeah.
They've never done anything or contributed to society. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, people who give them power, and now you're going to exercise power over me when I deserve more respect than you because I've done more in my mm-hmm. life than you have.
Yes,
I've right. contributed more to society than you have. So how are you going to look at me sideways?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you got. I'm really hot when it comes to the issue of way they do our people in the criminal
yes,
justice system, and we're going to talk about that a little bit again next week. But again, on behalf of the Justice Watch crew, thank you for tuning in today. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, same channel. And until that time, stay blessed.
I'm mad. About to get back. I need some get back. Payback. Payback. That's it.
There's a new nationally syndicated radio program that's sweeping the nation, and you don't want to miss it. Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali, the voice of justice for the people. The focus of Justice Watch is to provide an honest analysis and viable solutions to the criminal and social justice crisis in America and the world from a black, brown, working class, and socially disadvantaged perspective, and to motivate listeners to be informed and part of the solution. Zulu Ali is joined by the Justice Crew, consisting of Rosa Nunez, Michael Clark, Dr. Akil Bashir, and Charito Ali to tackle the most pressing issues. Host Attorney Zulu Ali is a former police officer, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, and an award-winning trial lawyer who focuses on representing persons accused of crimes, immigrants, victims of discrimination, and persons seeking civil justice. Find out how to listen to Justice Watch with Attorney Zulu Ali at justicewatchradio.com.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Caraggio. President Biden is meeting with top advisors ahead of Tuesday's State of the Union address. Biden flew to Camp David on Saturday, where he's expected to discuss